Well, it is really, really nice to be talking to some real people instead of like a big magnified picture of my own face, which is really distracting because you just like spend the whole time thinking, oh, I really need a haircut. So I won't be thinking that today, which is really good. That's really nice. It's really lovely to be here with you all. It's going to be quite short because we have until my son has finished his lunch and then it's, you know, all time to go. So we're going to be quite short today. It's quite a short passage and it's quite a simple and straightforward passage. Like, it's not too difficult. So I'm going to break it up a little bit. We're going to pause halfway through to pray for some people. And the beautiful Marie is going to come and do a quick share with us as well. And then at the end, we're going to pray for us as a group as well. So there's lots of praying because, to be honest, it's quite a straightforward passage. So let's read it. It is Colossians 4, verses 2-6. So let's have a little look. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So this is some instructions. In my translation of the Bible, it has a little subheading, Further Instructions. And this is Paul's letter to the Colossians. We're nearing the end of it. This is the last little bit of instructions before he concludes his letters with some personal messages about different people. So this is his last little bit of instruction. He starts his letter with some theological principles because the church in the Colossian church had been infiltrated by some false teachers. So they'd got the wrong idea on a few things. And so Paul is writing to them to correct their thinking, to put them straight on a few things. So he starts by establishing who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. The second half of his letter is, what does that mean for how we should behave? And so this is this part comes right at the end of that. You know, chapter 3, we looked at, Tim preached last week about how we should behave towards each other as a church. And that bit was kind of general. As a church together, we should behave in a certain way because of who Jesus is. And then the little section that just before chapter 4 is about how we should behave like in our individual relationships, wives, husbands, children, fathers, slaves, masters. I'm really glad I'm not preaching on that bit. That's excellent. Dodged a bullet there. And this last little bit is about how we interact with the church, with the wider community. So Paul has talked about how we interact with each other as a church. This last little tiny bit is how do we behave towards the wider community and the world, society in which we live. It falls quite neatly into two sections. The first little bit is how we interact with the world indirectly. We pray for those people who are going out into the world. So we can sit here in our nice safe church and we can do some praying. That is really good. We're going to do some praying this morning. We're going to pray for people who have that gift of going out and sharing the gospel. But then the second part is how we interact directly with the world. Oh no, the introvert in this room are going, oh no. But it's okay, we're going to pray for the introverts at the end as well, because Paul tells us that we are to interact directly with the community through our conversations. So let's start by looking at verses 2-4. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So the first thing is that we should pray. Devote yourselves to prayer. So how should we pray? Paul has three things that he thinks we should, three attitudes that we should have when we're praying. We should pray devotedly, and we should be watchful, and we should be thankful. So let's have a think about devotedly. In other parts of the Bible, in Thessalonians, it says pray without ceasing. Ephesians says pray at all times. Romans says be constant in prayer. So devotedly means all the time, steadfastly, constantly. I also think that the Bible backs up that, you know, we pray without ceasing, constantly. But that's quite difficult to do, isn't it? Like when you're asleep or when you're eating your meal or when you're watching your children run around and making sure that they don't bang their heads, that's quite hard. So I was thinking about devotedly, and I thought, my husband Mark is pretty devoted to sport. Like, he's pretty devoted. Like, if he's not cycling, then he's on his cycling app, looking at his stats, looking at his routes, planning his routes, checking what other people have done. If he's not on his cycling app, he's on his football app, checking the scores, checking his fantasy football team. If he's not on his fantasy football team, he's watching the football. If he's not watching the football, he's watching the rugby. Like, this is one of my favourite things about him, because he champions women's sport as well. If there's nothing else on, he's watching the women's cricket, he's watching the women's cycling. Love it. He's pretty devoted to sport. So I think that as well as being without ceasing, it means enthusiastically. It means passionately. I passionately pray, enthusiastically pray. And then we come to watchfully. So we've got devotedly, enthusiastically, passionately, watchfully. So we need to be alert. We need to be vigilant when we're praying. But does that mean that we should be nail-biting, on edge, really nervously, anxiously, vigilant all the time? No, we should be thankful as well. And those two go together, because at the same time as we're watchful, we're watching, who are we watching? We're watching God, and we're thankful for what he's already done, the victories that he's already won. And because we're watchful and we're thankful, we're keeping our eyes on the victories that are ahead. So that's how we should pray. And what should we pray for? Paul has three things. We love these three things, don't we? It's great. We should pray for three things. We should pray for the people who are called. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. So there are some specific people that Paul is talking about, himself included. Us too, our message. There are some specific people who are called to take the message out into the community. So we should pray for them. We should pray for open doors. We should pray for opportunities for them to share the message. And we should pray for the mystery of Christ to be made plain. So this is how we sit here together on a Sunday, or in our house groups, or in our prayer meetings. This is how we indirectly interact with the world. We should behave towards our community by praying for them, by praying for our outreach workers like Alice and Marlene, and we should pray for people with a specific evangelistic gift like Marie, because I'm always, I don't know about you, but when I look on the WhatsApp message group and I see another message from Marie that says, bumped into somebody else today, gave them a pamphlet about Jesus, bumped into my old friend today, gave him a pamphlet about Jesus, bumped into Dave today, Dave's coming to church. And I'm like, oh my goodness me, like God just sends this girl opportunity after opportunity, doors are opening for her. This is amazing. I want to jump on and pray for that. That is fantastic. So we should pray for that. So we're going to pray for those guys in a minute. We should pray for them. When we pray for them, we're going to pray that they would have opportunities, that God would send them moments in their week that are open doors. And we should pray for them that they have the boldness to walk through those doors. And we should pray for them that they can share what Paul calls the mystery of Christ. And it's not a mystery to us. It's not mystery because it's complicated. It's not like a murder mystery where there's a surprising twist at the end. It's a mystery because the community, the world, society, wouldn't think of it themselves. Like, it's confused, it's baffling, because it doesn't make sense if you're just living a normal life in the natural. It doesn't make sense that all of us here today would be gathered in the same room to eat together, to fellowship together, to praise God together. It doesn't make sense that God would send himself. How could God send himself to save us? That doesn't make sense to the world, but it makes sense to us. So we should pray that Alice and Marlene and Marie and anyone else are able to share that mystery and to unravel that and make it plain. So I'm going to pause there. I'm going to invite Marie to come and share very briefly, and then we're going to pray for Alice and Marlene and Marie. Is that okay? Yeah. I'll turn my mic off. Have we got a mic for Marie?
I just love them, and so I'll do my best if I see an opportunity to give them the opportunity to know Jesus. I have noticed that when I try and make opportunities, it doesn't work out very well, so I have to be aware of the opportunities that God gives. Yeah, so it's good what you said about praying for God to give opportunities. Yeah, definitely. And I wrote down a scripture to share, which is the same scripture you read, Colossians 4:5. Yeah, about, is it here? Yeah, about pray, was it? Colossians 4:5. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Yeah, and that's not always talking about Jesus. Sometimes it's just being peaceful, being joyful, just being like him, yeah. And is there anything else I wanted to say? That we all have gifts and abilities. God can use everyone. Like God uses people that are not Christian. He can use us. He can use everyone. Yeah. Yeah.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Marie. That's super. Marie, don't run away. Come here, because we're going to pray for you. Alice and Marlene, you come up as well. If you don't know, Alice and Marlene are the outreach workers for the church. So they spend their weeks running the toddlers group, running a walking group. I think I overheard Alice say last week that she just goes and knocks on doors until people like let her in. So it would be really good. Like, can we stand and can we pray? Maybe if two or three people could pray for these guys, and then I'll wrap up and finish in prayer. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Well, Marie's absolutely right. You can use anybody, but strive big, or to show your glory, to show your serious plan for those. But we want to also, we also know that you pick people, Lord, and you use your gifts that you've given us, Lord, to use them. And we do thank you for Marie, for Marlene, for Alice, Lord, for others in the church, Father, Lord, who's particularly laid on that heart, Lord, to just love to share about you. And Lord, we want to praise right. Lord, I love that phrase you said. I just want to try to do stuff, and I try to make an opportunity doesn't work. But when you work an opportunity, that's when you can really come in. Lord, we want to pray for these guys. Lord, you give them opportunity. Lord, you'd open up things, whether it's conversations, whether it's things that they do. Lord, just open up. Lord, wait for them to spring in and go, it's just about Jesus.
Amen.
It's about Jesus. So Lord, we come in and pray for people. Well, opportunities to pray for people.
Yes.
Lord,
yes,
come
Lord.
In to bring your goodness. Lord, to those outside, Lord, to hear you. Lord, that you are your goodness for them. Lord, you want great things for people. And so Lord, we just pray for them. Pray for these guys and for others in church, for all of us. Lord, you give us opportunities, Lord, to share it, Lord. And share you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Take every opportunity to advance your gospel.
Yes, Lord.
The ability to know how to communicate the gospel effectively.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. Father, we are praying in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
For a flow of your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
We are praying in this season for open doors and open opportunities.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
That Father, as they meet the setting hand of God, that you break it, O God, in this time, O God. Reveal your
Amen.
Glory to people. We pray for word of knowledge, word of wisdom.
Amen.
We pray
yes,
the humble body of God to break it, O Church. That
yes,
God,
Lord.
All the gifting of the Holy Spirit
Amen.
Will effectively Amen. Operate in them, O Church. I pray for the Spirit and the grace of prayer
Amen.
And intercession, O Jehovah.
Yes.
The word says nobody comes to you
yes.
unless your spirit, unless
Amen.
You draw them to you, Jehovah. I
am
praying, God, that you anoint them with the spirit of prayer and intercession.
Amen.
And bless you, Lord, as you are bringing in a lot of your sheep
Jesus.
Inside, O God.
Jesus.
And we pray not only for them, God, we pray even for ourselves, O God.
Amen.
That
yes.
there is a weapon in your spirit, a passion to do it, O God. Father, we thank you.
Father God, we thank you for your daughters
that
have involved in reaching out to Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we ask for fresh water, for freshness,
deep
word, meet in due season.
Yes.
Whether it is time to speak,
Amen.
Lord, we grant the one chance
for this
word
yes.
to show us that you are prepared. As they speak to those who do convict them,
Amen.
Yes,
Lord,
have mercy in the name of Jesus. Your
yes.
last soul shall be made fast.
Yes.
And Lord, as they go out, do your work, Father, we pray you reward them.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Lord, just how beautiful on the mountain at the feet
of
their
enemies.
Lord, we pray you beautify their lives.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And each and every one of us, your word says you have. He called us and given us the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
Yes. Rejoicing everyone involved in this house.
Yes.
Boldness and courage.
Amen.
To be able to declare the whole
yes,
Lord.
The council
of
yes.
So that through Jesus, you will convince people
Amen.
And draw them to yourself. And Lord, as they become saved, they too will become grounded
Amen.
And establish in you.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yes, Lord, thank you that we can honour your servants, Lord. We can honour your warriors, your soldiers, Lord. These people, these wonderful women that you are sending to the front line of the battle, Lord, we pray that you would shield them, that you would equip them, that you would sharpen their swords that is the word of the Spirit, that you would anoint their heads with oil and that you would put your shoes on their feet. Lord, thank you. We honour them and we pray for them and we pray your blessing
yes.
upon them in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
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 Thanks, guys.
Amen.
It's an awesome privilege. Oh, so there we go. It's a kind of get-out clause, isn't it? We can just like pray for our wonderful women and the people who are going to go out and share their faith. Those of us who are a bit more shy and introverted, we can just sit here, feel very relieved. But not for long. Let's move on to verses 5 and 6. It says, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." So we all have interactions with people outside of our church family, at work, at school, at the school gate, our neighbours, our friends. Even if we don't feel we have a specific call to share the gospel, even if you don't think that you have the gift of evangelism, like Marie said, God is going to use you anyway. God is going to use you anyway, and we should still make the most of every opportunity. We should be vigilant and aware, But just as when we're vigilant in prayer, it's not nail-biting on edge, we're vigilant and aware for the opportunities, not because we're nervous and exhausted and watching for every opportunity anxiously. We're making the most of it, like it's like the attitude should be, oh, never a dull moment with God. That's the kind of like excited, hopeful, joyful attitude that we should have. And the thing that as a student, we went out on the streets and we found opportunities to share the gospel with people. And like Marie said, when you try and make it happen, it doesn't work. And that's really freeing, isn't it? Because you don't actually have to go around thinking, is this an opportunity? Is this an opportunity? Shall I make the most of this opportunity? Like, if you miss the opportunity that God sends you, God's like, that was a practice. It's fine. I knew you were going to miss that one. I'll send you another one. It's fine. Like, it's really freeing when you know that God is in control and there's never a dull moment when you're journeying with him. So when we're making the most of these opportunities that God sends us, how should we, like, what should our attitude be when we're interacting directly with the community? We should be wise. This means we should know when to speak and when to just listen. Like Marie said, when to be peaceful, when to be joyful, when to demonstrate through our actions rather than through our words, when to give somebody a hug, when to be sympathetic, when to correct and proclaim God's truth, when to offer prayer, when to be vulnerable and maybe ask for prayer yourself. Quite often when I was looking for opportunities on the streets to share with people, I asked people who didn't believe to pray for me, because I'm not a spiritual authority that I'm going to pray for them and their lives are going to be sorted. Like, I'm vulnerable too, and God listens to their prayers as well. So we should be wise in the way that we act. We should also let our conversation be seasoned with salt. I thought of this, oh, your conversation's a bit salty. It doesn't mean like swear a lot. That's not what it means. It means that your conversation should be tasty. It should be appetizing. When our baby started eating adult food, we had to stop adding salt to our meals because salt isn't very good for babies. So we stopped putting stock cubes in our like stews and things like that. And so our food was a bit bland for a while. And then one night, Mark was in charge of cooking the dinner. And we all went out. Mark cooks the dinner, cooked chicken casserole. We all came home, and it was the best chicken casserole we had ever tasted. It was amazing. Even the baby was like guzzling away, more. And we were like, oh, how did you make it taste so good? It was so good. And he was like, oh, you know, and I could just put in the normal things like basil, parsley, stock cube. And we're like, oh, the secret ingredients. So our conversation should be like that. It should be tasty, nutritious, appetizing. We shouldn't have like bland, boring conversations. I don't know, maybe I feel like sometimes my conversations are quite bland and boring because I mostly talk about, am I getting any sleep at night? And are the other mums I'm hanging out with getting any sleep at night? That's the kind of thing we mostly talk about. But every so often, when the opportunity comes along, then I get to talk about faith and I get to share my faith because I've got one friend who's really, really a good friend of mine. I'd say 95% of our conversations are about sleep, and the other 5%, she's a practicing Muslim, and we talked about who Jesus is and who Jesus is to her and why it's important to her that Jesus isn't God, because she finds that offensive. And I was able to explain why it's important that Jesus is God, because that's how his sacrifice has meaning. And so that part of our conversation was really salty and really good. And then the final thing that we should, the final way that we should behave in our conversations with the community is that we should know how to answer everyone. So should we be super know-it-alls? No. It means that we should take the time to get to know people. We should know how to answer them as an individual. So when I'm talking to my friend who's a Muslim, she already believes in God. So I'm not going to start at the beginning with, you know, is there a spiritual force in the universe? Like, she's beyond that. She's lives her life pleasing to God, trying her best. And so I'm going to start with her talking about grace and about who Jesus is and why why it's important that he's God. We're going to start there. I've got a friend who's a doctor. She's a GP. She's very, very skeptical. Like, science is everything. You can explain everything in the world through science. I'm a crazy person to her because I believe in God. And so my conversation with her is going to be completely different to my conversation with my friend who's a practicing Muslim. And so because I take the time to get to know them, to understand them, to love them, then I know how to address each of them in a different way. And so God has a personal relationship with us, doesn't he? He has a personal relationship with us. He treats us as individuals, and he calls us to have the same attitude, the same heart for our communities, to see people as individuals and meet them where they're at. So those are the two parts of Paul's final instructions. Pretty simple stuff, but quite tricky to do. So we're going to finish by praying for each other. I would love it if you could pray for me, that I could share the gospel with my friend who's a Muslim and with my friend who's a doctor. They're really, really dear friends to me. And it would be great if someone could pray for me. It'd be great to pray for us, that our conversations would be seasoned with salt, and that we would enjoy each exciting moment that God sends us. And finally, let's pray that God would give us wisdom and guide us in the work that he's prepared for us. So should we stand, and maybe there's like a spider like on my glasses. Should we stand and maybe like a few people pray, and then I'll close in prayer. Do we want to sing again? What do you think? Yeah, I think that'd be nice. Yeah. Tim's suggesting that we get into small groups. I always find that a little bit intimidating, but you know, it's fine. I think that would be good. Find some people around you, and let's get into groups and pray for each other. And then I'll draw us back and pray at the end.